720 WGN, high atop Chicago in the Skyline studio. And on the line with us, excited to have a guy who has traveled and cooked around the world with the Four Seasons, Michelin stars, five diamonds, one of Chicago's favorite voices, faces, and of course flavors, with his beloved Duck Inn in Bridgeport and Decent Beef at the Timeout Market, the one and only Chef Kevin Hickey. Welcome to WGN.
Wow, thanks, Dean. I'd love to get you to do my introductions everywhere I go.
I've done it a few times. I've done it at Chicago Gourmet.
And that's a good one, man.
We're going to, wow, of course. Wow. You deserve it. Have you looked at your resume lately? And I know the business card is small. You can't put everything on there. But you've done a lot of stuff. And over the years, you know, you and I have talked many, many times, and I've always said, for 15 plus years, I've said that the restaurant business is, you know, one of the toughest businesses out there. You've got to be hardwired to do it. It's got to be in your DNA and in never more than nowadays, of course. And your career has always been one of those where you've been kind of more things to more people, nimble with the business model and the cuisine and always moving and kind of doing things. Talk a little bit about how, whether it's for the staff, for the family, and certainly for all of the fans of your food, just how you guys have kind of mobilized during this pandemic.
That's the big thing when you say mobilize. You know, we've had to constantly pivot and evolve and put ego in check and try not to think, oh, well, you know, this has been our business model. This is who we are. You have to be willing to change and flex and respond really quickly to your customers. And we pushed ourselves really hard to do that since March 15th. And, you know, we've been successful enough that we're still here. And, you know, when you say this is a tough business and you've got to be hardwired in your DNA, it's so very true, and nothing's been truer than what we've been faced with for the last few months, and really what we're looking down the barrel of for the next 3 to 6 months, uncertainty and you know, reduced business levels and changing consumer tastes and demands and expectations. You know, I did an interview with somebody recently. We were talking about this very subject. I think I said two or three times in the interview, I was like, well, you know, in my last global pandemic, I did this. I don't know what I'm doing sometimes. You know, sometimes we're just shooting in the dark,
right,
hoping it hits something, hoping that it's what the customer wants. You know, we switched to carry out and delivery immediately. The very first day that we were forced to close the restaurant, we were open that day for carry out and delivery. Luckily, we had already set ourselves up. We've been set up for over a year with Uber Eats and Grubhub and Caviar and all those delivery services, and they were never any substantial amount of our business on any given night or any given week. But we were set up with them. We had our menus on there. We had our hours, and we were open to that. And the very first night of restaurant closures, we did about 500 or 600% more business that night than we'd ever done in any week of carryout and delivery.
Wow.
And it kept going from there. We had some really busy weeks. Easter and Mother's Day were great for us, all carry out and delivery. We partnered up with Stop, which had been previously an online reservation system company based here in Chicago.
Yep.
But they flexed right away the very first week. They said, okay, we're going to offer pickup and delivery on our platform. Go ahead and come up with some ideas, and we went with that really fast and got some delivery, some family meals and really reasonably priced items. And we were delivering ourselves. I was driving around town with a giant rubber ducky strapped to the roof of my car, taking food to people all over the city, you know, just to keep the restaurant surviving.
I mean, it is crazy to think of, and for the listeners that may not be completely familiar with the scope of the career is on the fine dining. Like, you have worked in and led the finest of the fine dining establishments. But of course, you know, growing up in Chicago, Southside, Bridgeport, and some of the incarnations of Chef Kevin Hickey are more, they're all always elevated and great, but more accessible and I think approachable. And talk a little bit about that maybe just the versatility of the situations that you have worked in lent your just to be able to kind of move and be so nimble, and then also have kind of that understanding of Chicago and the people and your customers. Yeah. And what they would kind of go along with.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, like you said, my hotel experience, I think, really gave me a real diversity for my repertoire of skills. And I was, I had to do everything as a hotel chef. And fine dining, Michelin star, cheeseburgers, kids' food, banquets, box lunches, cafeteria food. You know, every hotel I ever worked in, we fed 300 people a day in a cafeteria with a salad bar and Salisbury steak. You know, you have to be able to do all of that to be a successful hotel chef. So, it wasn't easy. I mean, I make it sound like, oh, yeah, we did this, we did that.
Right.
Superstars. Great. But it really wasn't. You know, I mean, when we switched to the straight up, DoorDash, Caviar, Uber Eats, Grubhub, it was really hard. You know, it was from my kitchen. You know, my guys are used to cooking. You know, they're great, great cooks, great chefs. And, you know, the Grubhub order would come in, I'd call it out to them. They'd call it back, they'd get it ready and everything. And then 20 minutes later, I'd turn around and be like, okay, Grubhub's here for that order. They're like, okay, we'll start making it. You gotta have it made.
Oh, you
gotta make it ahead of time. They're like, oh, but it's not gonna be very good. And, you know, it's kind of going, okay. Like, we gotta fill the window, guys. As soon as that stuff gets ordered, it's fire, 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 fire. And, you know, so it was a learning curve. How do we get it up fast? How do we make it smell nice? How do we find the right packaging? You know, so, you know, it's just another challenge. You know, it's just like doing a banquet for 400 people. How do you serve 400 chicken breasts all at the same time and still have them be juicy and delicious? Well, you find ways of doing things that are much different than the ways of cooking that you use to get that Michelin star. And you have to divorce your ego from it. You can't be like, oh, you know, man, I'm a Michelin star chef. What the hell am I doing driving around with a rubber ducky on my roof, you know, knocking on people's doors with a mask on, handing them their cheeseburgers and fries? But, you know, if I didn't do that, I wouldn't have a business anymore. My restaurant wouldn't exist. And, you know, you have to divorce that ego and that kind of, like I said before, you have to pivot. You can't say, well, this is who we are. This is like DNA. This is what kind of restaurant we are. It's like, this is an unprecedented situation, and you have to be willing to change and evolve and try something else just to make sure that you're giving people something they want, thereby saving your business so that maybe someday in the next, 6 months to a year, we can get back to a normalcy. You know, I have Michelin star chef colleagues and friends that are selling pizza and fried chicken and whatever they can, and hot dogs themselves, just to, get through this and give people what they want. I mean, it's been kind of an epidemic of pizza, fried chicken, onion, and hot dogs. But, you know, that's what we like. That's what people want right now. Something comforting and with value and so forth. And so you got some really amazing people with incredible skills making some of the best pizza, cheeseburgers, and fried chicken in the city.
Yeah. Well, when you think about this, is like nowadays, I think the bar for success may be survival, you know, and you mentioned it's just another challenge, but it's a challenge with, you know, with the ultimate consequences, right? And to understand that immediately before, because here's the other side of it too, is it wasn't anything you mentioned, hey, my last pandemic go around. Of course, nobody has that. No one has that experience. And there's been just a lot of indecision as far as like, well, what is it and how long it will last. And so some people probably said, well, we'll just ride this out. We don't need to pivot. It could be a few weeks, you know, we'll be done with this or back to normal. I don't know that anyone could have foreseen or seen what what this is or what it could be. Or, you know, I know you have to anticipate, you know, hope for the best and plan for the worst. But part of the problem, I think, is that no one was really sure what it was and how long it would last. Certainly the impact has been huge. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to continue our conversation with Chef Kevin Hickey. We're going to talk a little bit more about the Duck Inn, the things you can get, some great products, ways he has pivoted that are going to be amazing for everyone in the Chicagoland area. And of course, we're going to hit on the upcoming Chicago Gourmet. So keep it here. It's Dane on 720 WGN. WGN. It is Dane here with you high at Top Chicago Skyline Studio. And on the line with us, we've got one of our favorite chefs. You know him and love him, of course, from the Duck Inn down there in Bridgeport. And, of course, Timeout Market with Decent Beef. We'll talk about all of it and other ways where you can get more Kevin Hickey in just a grocery store, Mariano's, near you. So we'll talk about that. Kevin, welcome back.
Thanks so much,
Dan. One of the things that we have always talked about, and wherever I travel around the country, around the world, and broadcast or whatever, is Chicago is known for not only great food, great talent, great chefs, architecture, maybe a little bit of, you know, political corruption and some sports. You know, you get some of that peppered in there. But one of the things that is universal is the communal nature of the restaurant community, the chef community. In our last segment before we went to break, you talked about Tok kind of mobilizing and changing Nick Kokonis and those guys with that app. Is that one of the things that you've seen up close, you know, as part of the community, as a member of the community and colleagues, is that as best, and everything isn't going to be perfect, and not every business model and restaurant situation can pivot and conform, but there has been a lot of communication, talk, and cooperation with all of you guys.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, from the very beginning, we were very mobilized as a group of about 70 chefs and restaurateurs, in constant communication with each other on email and texting and so forth. We had one meeting in person the day that the hours before the governor shut us all down on that Sunday. And we quickly dispersed as we realized that there was probably an illegal meeting because there was too many of us in one place. And we all rushed back to our restaurants at like 2 o'clock in the afternoon to get there just in time at 3 to have the governor make the announcement about closure. And ever since then, you know, we've kept in tight communication about changes and about things through the federal government, the local government, the Illinois Restaurant Association, which, you know, really the Illinois Restaurant Association has been an amazing partner throughout all of this and working tirelessly to find the best and safest way to save the restaurants of Chicago, restaurants and bars. And I mean, like you said, you know, some people did make that decision. Now I'm just gonna close down and ride this out rather than try and change who I am, change my business model. We'll take a little time off and see how long this goes. And I think a lot of people who made that decision are now, coming back and thinking, how do I fit in? Whatever business it is, this is going on 5-6 months and it's not sustainable. You know, people have to pay rent, they have to pay utilities, they have to pay insurance, they have to pay all kinds of set costs, you know, booked costs that there's no way around.
One of the things that, that Chicago food fans always look forward to, or at least for the last decade or so, and one of the great ways that they celebrate, whether it's celebrate you guys and coming together and food in Chicago, it's one of those unique festivals that doesn't necessarily, and I've covered them all, you know, where Chicago really stands on its own, where, you know, you'll have a few, you know, celebrity chefs in from here or there, but most of them have Chicago connections, and it really is just a showcase of the incredible talent that we have here in Chicago, and it's Chicago Gourmet. And so, like so many other events, and, you know, whether it's the Olympics or sports seasons or schools and all that kind of stuff that has gone by the wayside, one of the most disappointing things was the idea, the thought that Chicago Gourmet would not exist. Now, it's going to be different, obviously, but giving people kind of that connection to the food and those great chefs that they love. So let's talk a little bit about it. I've covered it since day one, since it was Rick Bayless at a card table in the middle of Millennium Park with just wine around the side. Nothing else was going on.
Yeah. I remember the first year. The first year I didn't participate, and I walked through it on that Sunday, and it was literally just like Rick on one side of the table and tacos and Paul Kahn grilling sausages for like 14 people and a lot of drunk people and not a lot of food. And I made the mistake of criticizing the event to the mayor at the time, Mayor Daley. I said, "What do you think is coming from that?" I didn't think much of it. He's like, "All right, well, you're on the committee now, so you can figure out how to make it better."
Oh, that's awesome.
So for a couple of years, we worked tirelessly with the Illinois Restaurant Association to turn it into one of the best food and wine festivals in the country.
Oh, yeah.
And it really has, once Bon Appetit came on as a partner, we took it to just another level. We've had so many great partners over the years. Southern Wines and Spirits has been incredibly generous and prolific in its support of the Chicago Gourmet. And every mayor has really embraced it and just driven it forward in amazing ways. Rob was a huge supporter there all the time. Mayor Lightfoot's been very supportive. What's truly amazing, I'm just astounded at how creatively and interestingly Illinois Restaurant Association has come up with how to have a Chicago Gourmet in a pandemic. And we've got so many cool events that people can take advantage of over the next few weeks. And, you couldn't have done this with Lollapalooza. You couldn't have said, okay, we're not going to have Lollapalooza, but we're going to do a Lollapalooza around the city. Yeah, that wouldn't work. And Chicago Gourmet figured out how to have kind of little mini Chicago Gourmets all over the city for the next 2 weeks. And we couldn't be more excited to be participating in almost every level of them, from even bringing back the hamburger hop for all of the participating restaurants on the table. I think there's over 100 restaurants participating in a cool burger at all these different restaurants. And then we roll into all of our Go Gourmet dinners too that are taking place at restaurants throughout the city. But the best thing is a proud participant as well. But so is the Virtues and Park is participating in Montevideo, Chupolo. There's so many other places that are doing these small dinners for under 50 people outside. Great sponsors with some amazing wine from Unshackled and bourbon. So it's really going to be special at all.
So let's talk, as a guy who's been one of those early on committee members, a headliner, I've emceed some of your demonstrations, which are always big fan favorites. So for you, for Kevin Hickey and those fans who want to see you during this, what are you going to be doing? Like, are you going to be hosting one of the dinners? Are you going to be participating in some of the competitions?
We're gonna host a dinner here in Buckhead on September 17th, and you can get tickets. You can call the restaurant and get tickets. You can go to chicagogourmet.org and see all the information about all the different events to buy tickets. And we're going to be doing like a little, kind of almost a taste of the South Side in a lot of ways. Growing up in Bridgeport and a little bit on the North Side, but mostly my formative years down here. Once I became a chef and started working and really started to develop my own personal style, people would ask me, what kind of food do you make? What kind of chef would you call your cuisine? I'm like, I don't know. It's American cuisine. I go, what does that mean? I'm like, well, I don't know. I grew up in an Irish, Italian, Mexican, Polish neighborhood next to Chinatown and on the other side of Greektown. So that's what American food is to me. That's what I grew up eating.
Yes.
That's what, when I want to taste nostalgia, even my palate has been formed by growing up around those ethnic foods. I was an Irish kid, sixth generation in this neighborhood, so we had no culture, no cuisine. So all of my friends were first generation Chinese and Italian, so I was eating in their houses growing up, and you know, a little bit of the Polish Lithuanian influences around the neighborhood. But those are the flavors I always gravitate toward. That's what we're going to be doing. We're going to use the taste of the ethnic rules that really shaped my culinary journey, so to speak, and got me where I am now. So it'll be a fun event. We have one of the absolute best outdoor patios in the city. It's absolutely gorgeous. It gets better every year. My life really is quite handy with all the florals and working with their girlfriend from the company called the Proper Pop. And we've got a very lush, warm, inviting space back here. It's sunken down off the street. It's very quiet. And it's a great spot. So that's going to be the setting for our Go Gourmet dinner.
17th, we're going to have links at WGNradio.com for that. And of course, all of this benefits the Illinois Restaurant Association. So supporting the event, enjoying the event.
Well, yeah, it benefits a lot of things. The Illinois Restaurant Association, also the restaurant workers organization.
Nice.
Helping them out. You know, you've got the hamburger hop, you've got the Go Gourmet dinner. There's going to be a Go Gourmet virtual series where you can get involved in those events, and that takes place all the whole last 2 weeks of the month, 14th and 30th. You can buy a meal kit, and you can get online and then click alongside Steph and Louisville, who find out how to make some of their favorite dishes, and Rick doing it as well. So you can learn really cool stuff, and you can cook with your family at the same time. It's like going to one of the demonstrations, but you actually, you go to those demos, you don't even really taste anything. You don't really right. do anything. You just watch. Now you get to watch, you know, Stephanie or Rick or Ty cooking, and you're cooking the exact same food, and then you get to eat it. I think it's almost better than that. Sitting just watching
it. You hate, right? Like, Chef, let the listeners know we're of course talking to Chef Kevin Hickey. You hate to look for silver linings, right? Because there's so much negativity and obviously appropriate, you know, just a lot of, you know, kind of bad and challenging things that are out there. But there are some things that are going on the technology side that I think are going to be built into some of the cool things that we'll see in Chicago gourmets of the future. We'll have links up at WGNradio.com for that. Before we let you go, and for the people that are going to enjoy all of that Chicago gourmet and be with you on the 17th, there are ways now for people to extend, and even some close to home ways to enjoy on a regular and continual basis, the work and food and flavor of Kevin Hickey. So talk a little bit about the Mariano's partnership and ways that people can extend their Labor Day and then just in perpetuity, right? You can enjoy your stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we have a couple of opportunities this week for people to get a taste of what we do and bring it home and share it with their family and friends over the Labor Day weekend. You know, our Duck Fat Hot Dog, our one of the signature items has been since the day we opened, even before we opened. We won the Food Network Hot Dog Contest out in Virginia.
Yes.
So you can pick up retail packages of our hot dog at either the Duck Inn or Duck and Dog, depending on market. And as of this week, you can actually pick them up off the shelves of every Mariano's in the city. And we've got hot dog packages that you can purchase on Tock. That you can pick up again at the Duck Inn or at the Timeout. That you can take home, and you've got our dogs and all the toppings and buns, and have that at home ready for your Labor Day celebration. You can even go on Labor Day itself, head over to Mariano's and pick up some hot dogs, and get them on the grill just in time for your afternoon barbecue.
It's amazing.
So, it's something we've been working in 2 or 3 years in the making, the packaging of the dogs and marketing and trying to get them on the shelves, and we couldn't be happier to be partnering with a Chicago institution like Mariano.
It couldn't be more needed than now, too. Just finding different and alternative and additional ways for people to enjoy what it is that you guys are doing, have always done. And so hats off to Mariano's, too, for being a great partner in all that. And we can't wait. We're just excited for everything that's going on with Chicago Gourmet, to see not only you as one of those longtime participants, headliners, and stars of the event. And so thanks so much for what you're doing, for getting out there in the car with the duck on the roof, for keeping it going, for leading by example in a bunch of different ways, and, of course, for jumping on the show today.
Thanks so much, Sam. Great to talk to you as always.